If to God we have been true, and we've lived above all sin, then for us there'll be a meeting, a hallelujah greeting. I'll see you in the rapture some sweet day. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting over there. His waiting bride away. So get ready now to meet him. With this message, go and greet him. I'll see you in the rapture.
This evening, it's 360 in your hymn book.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Satan's lie, a roaring lie, roaming to and fro. He's many souls have been his prey to fall in rushing mighty wind. It blew into the upper room and baptized all of them. And with a power greater than any earthly foe, well, I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the whole world know. Greater is He in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me.
That tonight? Amen. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Good to be in service again tonight. One just to announce a few things to remind you. Sister Buckles, the viewing will be tomorrow here at 9 a.m. at the church, and that'll continue on till 11 a.m. And then the funeral will start at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So if you can make that, I'm sure the family would appreciate you coming out to pay your respects and show your support to them. And we're going to have a meal just for the family afterwards. And we're going to have a local restaurant here make the food for that. So if you have any money you want to donate towards that, just get with me or Sister Rebecca after the service tonight. And then if we have anything over and beyond those expenses, that'll go to help the Buckles family with the funeral expenses. I wanted to remind you again, after service, just remember, try not to fellowship in the entryway there. If you want to stay in fellowship, you can either go outside or go downstairs in the basement. It's very cool down there. And this evening especially, we don't want any children in the basement unless they're attended by an adult, because we have some things set up there for after the funeral tomorrow. And then we've got several prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord. A friend of my parents, her name is Annie. Her dad is in the hospital. We want to remember him in prayer. And then Brother Gates is in the hospital, not doing very well. We want to remember him in prayer. Also, Sister Whitney Jones, her dad had triple bypass surgery today. So I want to remember him in prayer for a speedy recovery. They did say that he's doing very well considering, so praise the Lord for that. And then my wife's grandmother, Wirtz, she fell again, and we just want to remember her in prayer. Also, Sister Estera not feeling well this evening, and Brother Furman has an unspoken prayer request for his family that he wants to put in. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Yes? Oh, I'm sorry, it's Annie's husband that's in the hospital, not her father. I apologize for that. But so we'll remember him in prayer tonight. Brother Luke, would you come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much this evening, Lord, and so happy to be in this little house of worship, Lord, to come and visit you, Lord, and have fellowship with you, Lord, and Father, just get another blessing from you, Lord, or re-energizing from the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, as we heard the prayer request, Lord, that Brother Nathan read off, Lord, and I'm sure ones that are here, Lord, that have things on their heart, Lord, that they need a touch by you, Lord. And we have all the confidence in the world in you, Lord. We know that you're still a prayer answering God, Lord. You're still Hebrews 13:8, Father. You haven't changed, Lord. And we love you, Father, Lord, and we just put all our faith in you, Lord, and we can't do that with anybody else, Father, but you. And, Lord, we pray you just come and meet us tonight, Father. Go through each row, Lord, and touch each one that's here, Father. Draw us closer to you, Lord. Father, we just want more love in our lives, Lord. Lord, help us, Father, just be more like you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Brother Cole and Sister Amanda and their children are with us from my uncle's church. Brother Jeff up in Delaware, I'm going to ask her if she'd come at this time and sing a special for us. Amen. Is that what you came to do tonight? Amen.
On top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth. need to come home to that city. For the word says, whosoever will, and I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Oh, a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Oh, a pilgrim, yet I love thee. Never molest me in that city. Never leave me lying cold and chill. And I'll enter to live up there forever when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Go uphill. I love thee still, and I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it.
Some of you look like your wife burnt your supper, or you had a bad day and you're still thinking about that or something. But how many came to have church tonight? Amen. Well, a third of you. So the rest of you come to have church? Amen. Will we sing this again? I want you to remember, you've been invited. You've received an invitation. It wasn't from Nathan Bryan or Barack Obama or any man on earth, but from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He invited you to come to a city. We've got something to be happy about tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's try it again. Oh, I'm invited to come home to that city. For the word says, whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. And we want to pick up where we left off last week with Abraham and Isaac as we're looking at this thought of speak the word. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. God speaking to Abraham, he says, verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, we looked at this last week and found out that Abraham actually had eight children or eight sons that we know of, and he had at least two at this point in time. But this word, thine only son, doesn't mean that it was the only child that had been given birth through Abraham, but it was a child that was the only unique one, his only unique son, Isaac, because he was the son by the promise, not through the flesh, but through the promise, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let's bow our heads this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Lord, no doubt many needs are represented, no matter how severe or how insignificant it might seem. Lord, they're important to the person, to the individual, Lord, that raised their hand, that has a request on their heart, Father. And Lord, we know that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. Lord, that you're concerned not only about the great big things in our lives, but about the little things that we're facing. And sometimes when it's something we feel like it's maybe a little request, sometimes we're even ashamed to ask, Father, but we're thankful that you're concerned in the details and in the little things in our life, that even you see every sparrow that falls, and that might seem so insignificant on the grand scale of eternity and of life and trials that are going on, but if you care for the little sparrow when it falls, how much more do you care about your bride and the needs that she's facing, Father? And Lord, I just ask you to come on the scene tonight. Lord, may you minister to the needs of the people. Lord, may we be encouraged tonight. Maybe Satan's been trying to fight and try to tear down and try to do anything he can to discourage, but we're so thankful that when he comes in like that, that you raise up a standard against him. Father, be with us tonight. We commit this service into your hands. May you have preeminence in the service. May you take complete control of every word that's spoken, every song that's sang. Lord, we thank you for what we've heard so far from your word and from the singing and the worship, Lord. And we're just expecting more from you tonight, Father. We just ask you to, Lord, just come on the scene in a special way. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. We want to look at some parallels tonight between Isaac and Jesus. And we find that as we already said last week, they were the only children in the Bible, the only two men that it's ever spoken of that was the only begotten son of their father. We looked at what that word meant last week. And also, both sons had been prophesied of their birth before their birth. Both sons had been told what their names would be prior to their birth. Both sons were born by divine intervention, because by medical science and even Abraham's own testimony of his body at the time, him and Sarah couldn't have children. And here is Mary, a little virgin woman in the city of Bethlehem there, or Nazareth rather, and traveled to Bethlehem when she had the child. And here she is, just a little girl, maybe Brother Bram says about 18 years of age, and yet she's going to be mother to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She's going to be an incubator that God uses to plant not only the seed but the egg into her womb, and that this child would grow in her that would be the Messiah, that would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no doubt she felt very unworthy and very insignificant, very incapable. But when the angel comes and speaks to her, her and Sarah both had very similar reactions. Sarah begins to laugh and said, how can these things be, seeing that me and my Lord are both old and well stricken in age. And Mary turns around and says, how can these things be, seeing that I've known no man? But yet both children were born by divine intervention, and both of them asking how these things can be. But I like the testimony of Mary, that even though her initial reaction was, how can these things be, when the angel begins to tell her the word, she says, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
I hope that's how we can be tonight. Sometimes when the Lord says something, it seems incredible, maybe even seems impossible to the intellectual mind, but yet be it unto us according to thy word, Lord. So these births that were announced, they've been prophesied of many, many years before they happened. Isaiah had prophesied and said a virgin will conceive hundreds of years before that it actually took place and was fulfilled. And Abraham, Melchizedek had come down the road there. Elohim, God, stepped into a body, a theophany, and he walks down and he tells Abraham that he's going to have a son 25 years before the promised son actually arrives. So both of these were prophesied many years before their fulfillment. And both of these fathers, even though they greatly loved their sons, they were ultimately asked to sacrifice these sons. And Abraham, in verse 3, says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I want you to notice that both sons had left their homes to go to the place of sacrifice. Both of them rode donkeys on their way to the sacrifice. Here's Isaac riding on this little donkey that Abraham had saddled and taken with him. And here's Jesus riding in, the triumphant king, on his return to Jerusalem. And they shout, Hosanna to the kings, not realizing in a few days some of those same voices would be crying, crucify him. But yet they both ride to the place of sacrifice on a donkey. They were accompanied by two men. Jesus had a thief on the left and a thief on the right, but Isaac had these two young men that were servants of Abraham that went with him on the journey. And yet in all this, the wood that was brought for the sacrifice was cloven. It was separated and divided in two so that it could be constructed for the sacrifice. And a resurrection was prophesied in both places, because we find in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you.
Amen.
Now he's been commanded, go take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him up on Mount Moriah here. But yet as he's going up the mountain, he stops and he tells these two men, you can't go the rest of the way with us. You have to wait here, but it's okay. I and the lad will return. How is he going to do it? How is he going to do it when there's been a command for a sacrifice to be made? But yet Abraham said, we'll come back to you. And Jesus said, I'll rise on the third day. Both of them, there was a resurrection that was prophesied. Abraham, maybe not even realizing what he had said here, but speaking the word, and it begins to be put into action. We find that both of them, that it was 3 days that the sacrificial journey had taken place. Jesus being in the tomb for 3 days, but yet Abraham and Isaac journeying to the mountain of sacrifice for 3 days. Their companions that were with him, they stayed behind. They couldn't go the rest of the way because Abraham told them to wait there with the donkey, and that he and the son would go up the hill to the sacrifice. And Jesus was accompanied with his companions all the way to Gethsemane, but then they left him and stayed behind. They couldn't go further with him. So we begin to see many of the parallels here between these. Brother Bram says it this way in Jehovah Jireh in 1956. He said, how is he going to return? If he's going up to kill him, how's he going to return? There you are. That's the trust in God. Oh, he didn't know how it would be. That's the reason he could call it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He didn't know how it was going to be. He couldn't explain the mechanics of it. He couldn't go in and say, well, this is going to take place, and then there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, and the sacrifice is going to happen this way, and then God's going to come down and breathe the breath of life into his body. He couldn't explain the mechanics of it, but yet he had confidence that the dynamics would produce what had been promised, because God had already told him that he had a promised son, that he would name him Isaac, and that through this son he would be the father of many nations. He knows this child can't go to the grave and that be it and the promise be fulfilled. So he had that much in confidence in God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 19 says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. So Abraham had received him as one from the dead, being that his womb, or he was sterile and Sarah's womb was dead, yet he received him as one from the dead, and he knows, God, even if you do let me kill him up there, the promise has got to be fulfilled somehow. Amen. Amen. I believe every promise in the Word has still got to be fulfilled somehow. Amen. I can't explain all the mechanics behind it, but I have confidence in the dynamics that it'll bring it to pass. You say, how's this going to take place? And how's that going to take place? Well, I can speculate, but I really don't know how a lot of the things will be, but I know that it will be. Because the same God that we can look down through and we can read the historical accounts of what he did in ages gone by, what an encouragement and an example it is for us to know that if he did all these things back through history, that he can do the same thing for us and fulfill everything that he's spoken for this age. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And God said, Abraham said rather, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now notice, Isaac is beginning to question a little bit here, because he sees here's wood for the offering. Here's everything laid out. But he recognizes that there's not any sacrifice. There's not a sacrificial lamb. Where is this lamb going to come from? He begins to ask Abraham. And Abraham turns to him and he says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Not realizing maybe at the time, once again, that he's speaking this word through his lips that God has anointed him to speak, not knowing what's going to be, but yet God's brought the word to pass anyhow. He provided himself a lamb. Now I want you to notice, both fathers led their sons to the sacrifice. Both sons carried the wood to the place of the sacrifice. In verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Both sons were laid upon the wood. Both sons were bound to the wood, maybe Isaac by cords or however he did it, and Jesus by nails being bound to the wood. Both sons begin to ask their father's questions. Jesus asked him in the garden, said, if it can be, can this cup pass from me? But yet not my will, but thy will be done. Both of these sons were submissive to the will of their father. No doubt Isaac said, goodness, what are you doing here, Dad? He begins to bind him, but he didn't complain. He didn't argue. We don't see anything where he began to cry out or scream or to beg for mercy or to try to talk Abraham out of this. But both of the sons were submissive to the will of their father. Now, many times where we get in trouble is we want our will to override the will of the father. And we see God's will and we see his plan for our lives, but we have a better way that we think, well, I'd rather do it this way, and it'd be easier if I did it that way. But oh, if we could only be submissive to the will of the Father. Jesus said it this way. He said, I always do that which pleases the Father. Now, he was the only man that could ever speak those words truthfully. Maybe other men have tried to form the words in their mouths, but it wouldn't be truthful, because no matter how well your intentions or how well that you try to submit yourself, many times because of our flesh, because we were born in sin, shaped shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Our flesh, even though maybe it would be our desire to constantly do the will of the Father, there's going to be times when we slip and we stumble and we fall. But he can stand there and say, I always do that which pleases the Father. What a testimony. Oh my. And so they're both laid here upon the sacrifice. They're laid here upon the wood. They're bound to the wood. They both begin to ask their Father questions. Jesus said in his dying, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because Brother Branham said the Spirit left him there because God, the Spirit, couldn't die. But God, the man that he had created a tabernacle for himself to dwell in, that could die as a sacrifice. And there he lays. Isaac turns and says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? They both begin to ask these questions. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Once again, that word used there again, it means his only unique son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went off and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering instead of his son. Can you imagine? Let's just back up here a little bit and imagine Abraham. Here he goes down the road. He's been promised this son. 25 years he's been promised a son. And he believed, even though seemingly impossible, even though maybe his own family members begin to make fun of him, even though his neighbors no doubt made fun of him, and the doctor, no doubt the local family doctor, laughed him to scorn when he went in for his checkup and said, oh, I'm going to be the father of many nations. No doubt their local baby supply store laughed them to scorn when they went in to buy diapers and you know, a little crib for little baby Isaac that was coming. They said, oh my, we can't take your money. Here you are. Look at your age and all these things. Why, it's impossible. But yet Abraham recognized something that Paul would write many years later, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we begin to look at this series a few weeks ago, and we begin to recognize how that God spoke the world into existence simply by the spoken word. There was no wood, there was no stone, there was no materials for him to take and build. But yet when he began to speak forth, the world began to come into existence. The sun, the moon, the stars, all the galaxies and universes, and every piece of wood and stone and tree and leaf and everything that would ever be was laying there in seed form. Even our own bodies. Brother Branham said it this way. That even that body of Jesus was laying there in the dust. All those years back through time, all of these seeds that would produce themselves and become manifested, whether it be a frog or a dog or a horse or a human being or a tree or a plant, all those seeds were laying there in the earth from the spoken word of God. And when he began to speak, this would raise up and that would raise up. And he would go through and speak these things into existence from things that hadn't existed before. Things that were invisible became visible. Things that were impossible became manifested. And Abraham has enough confidence in God that even though it just seems impossible, if God could speak a world into existence, he believed he could speak a child into existence, and he could change their bodies back to young again to where they would be able to have this child. And as we go on down through 25 years, and yet they're turned back to a young man and a young woman, and the child gets to be the age of a teenager, and God speaks to him, says, take thy son, thine only son, and sacrifice him up here on Mount Moriah. And Abraham, in obedience to God, he begins to saddle the donkey. He begins to pack the things that he needs. He selects two of his servants to go with him. He comes and gets Isaac and tells him they're going to go on a little trip together. And they begin to walk up the path, 3 days' journey, to the base of Mount Moriah. And they go into the land of Moriah, and he's journeying on. He has 3 days to think about this. And no doubt Satan gets on his back and begins to tell him, you just imagine God said that to you. Oh, God's a good God. He wouldn't require this of you. Oh, God's a good God. He doesn't care if you cut your hair, if you wear shorts, if you wear your skirts too short, or he's a good God. He doesn't care about this or that. But when God's word was spoken, he wanted to have full obedience to God's word. Oh, my, if we could be like that tonight, that if we could just yield ourselves, yield our desires, yield our will, yield our imaginations, our ideas, our desires, everything to the will of the Father, how much better off we would be. And so Abraham, he's journeying along, and no doubt Satan's battling him. How are you going to do this? This child, your promised child, this promised son that you're going to be the father of many nations through, now God's going to require you to sacrifice him? How can you serve a God like that? How could you serve a God that would have all these requirements of you? And he began to beat him up over the head, and he had 3 days to think it over and to really let all Satan maybe just kept coming at him, and he keeps saying, I don't care. God promised that it's going to happen anyhow. Get behind me, Satan. Only 48 hours more to go of this, Abraham. And here he goes on further. And Satan keeps bombarding him and keeps bombarding him, just like no doubt he's done many of you over the years. Oh, if you would just turn around and go back to the world, you'd be happier. If you just turn around and go back to the denominations, you could serve an easier Jesus. I don't want an easier Jesus. I want the real Jesus. I don't want a make-believe denominational Jesus or a Jesus that's a figment of my imagination. I want Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whatever his desire is for my life, that's what I want my desire to be. Oh, my. Can you imagine, Brother Bram said it this way. He said, can you imagine going and being a pig in a pig pen, wallowing down there in the slop, and then all of a sudden you were changed into a human being? He said, why would you ever want to go back there and be a pig again? I don't want to be a pig again. Oh, no, he didn't call me to be a pig. He didn't call me to be a chicken scratching around in the barnyard, but he called me to be an eagle, to soar into the heavenlies. Amen. I could never be satisfied to go back to anything else. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. And Abraham journeys on. He gets up there. They get to the mountain. Abraham turns and tells his servants, you just wait here. I and the lad will return. How's it going to happen? How is it possible that the lad will return with him? He doesn't know, but he's speaking knowing that the promise has to be fulfilled somehow, and he's speaking according to the promise. The circumstances seem negative. The symptoms seem negative, but he's not speaking according to the symptoms. He's speaking according to the promise. Amen. Brother Branham says it this way, in God's provided lamb, 1956, God provided a lamb, rather. He said, where did that ram come from? He was 100 miles from civilization. And besides that, the ram couldn't have been there. The wolves and lions and things would have eat it. And another thing, it's up on top of the mountain where there's no water. Where did the ram come from? He said, Jehovah Jireh, the Creator, spoke the lamb into existence. Here they are, miles from civilization. Miles from water, up on top of a mountain. Nothing up there that would survive except maybe some mountain lions and jackals and things like that. And here they are. They're going to go up here and they're going to have a sacrifice. And Isaac says, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. He didn't just provide Abraham a ram. He provided himself a ram. The spoken word of God. And he provides a ram for Abraham. He provided him a sacrifice, the ram he provided for Abraham. He provided us a sacrifice in the form of Jesus. Both sacrifices were a substitute. The ram was a substitute where Isaac had been the one that was supposed to die, and Jesus was a substitute where we were the ones that were supposed to die. Our sins should have sent us to a devil's hell. Our sins should have sent us to a dark grave that we would never return from. But yet God, in his grace and his providence and his predestination, he looks down through time, and there's a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world so that it could be a substitute for us, because God's word has spoken and said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. And Adam and Eve cast the whole human race into death. But yet we'll look at it in the funeral tomorrow. A Christian doesn't die. A Christian can't die. Yet Adam and Eve cursed us to death. But there was a substitute that came that was a replacement, just as the ram was a replacement for Isaac. I want you to notice that the ram's head, when he turns, the ram's bleeding there, and he's sitting there caught with his head, his horns are around, thorns all around him. And our lamb that came when he went to the cross, his head was in a crown of thorns. That should have been my crown of thorns, Brother Darrell. Those should have been my nails. That should have been my blood that was shed. I deserved it. You deserved it. Every mortal that's ever lived, we deserved that. But he had done nothing to deserve it. Even Pilate had to cry out, "What has he done?" They said, "Crucify him." He said, "I find no fault with this man. He didn't do anything to deserve it." Brother Branham said, he's quoting Prince of the House of David. He said, "Mary Magdalene ran out there and said, 'What has he done? All he's done is raised your dead and healed your sick.'" And he said, that priest smacked her in the face, said, "Shut up and be quiet." So he hadn't done anything to deserve it, but yet he wore my crown of thorns so that I could have a crown of life eternal. Amen. Oh, I love it when the message just shuts people up. When I was still on Facebook about 4 years ago, I guess, one of the reasons I left Facebook was it was just too discouraging, all the controversy and people that you'd been friends with for years turning away from the message and making fun of the message, and it just got too discouraging for me to get on there and see that, and knowing that I'd have to block another friend that used to be a friend or either go on there and see their garbage. And got on there one day, and a man that had been a family friend of ours since probably before I was born, he had a picture on there of a squirrel and said, "Please don't shoot me. I was just spoken into existence a few minutes ago." I thought, oh, I'm not his judge, but if he didn't seal his doom, I don't know what it takes to do it, to make fun of something like that, the move of the Holy Spirit. But I noticed this quote a few weeks ago in studying, and it's been just so hard to hold it back all these weeks, knowing that we'd get to this on Jehovah Jireh eventually. But I want you to notice this in Jehovah Jireh 1958. Brother Branham says this: "God spoke it into existence in 1 minute." He's talking about the ram that was a substitute for Isaac. "God spoke it into existence in 1 minute, and it went out of existence in another minute. For God is able to do anything that he desires to do." Amen. Oh, you know, they make their boasts and they make their funnies and they laugh and they make fun and all these different things. But I wonder if they would have had a problem with Abraham sacrificing this poor little ram that had just been spoken into existence a few minutes before. But you recognize the very purpose that that ram was spoken into existence for was so that this could be fulfilled, so that God could provide a ram for Isaac. The very purpose that it was spoken into existence for, it fulfilled. Amen. Sadly, it did more in a few minutes than many of these people that have walked away and left the message will do in their entire life, because they'll never truly fulfill their potential, what they could have fulfilled for God, where the ram in only a few moments of life fulfilled what God had designed for it to do. Oh, when the squirrels were spoken into existence, I don't know of any other squirrels, no matter how long they lived, if they lived to be 579, I don't know of any other squirrel that fulfilled as much in a few moments as those squirrels did, because they were part of the vision. They were part of the third pull. Oh, man, I'm sure there'd be a lot of little squirrels dead out here on the road that would have said, "Oh, I wish I could have went that way instead of being hit by a garbage truck." Amen. To be part of the vision. God provided a lamb, 1956. He says it again. "That lamb came into existence in 1 minute and died the next minute. For one man taking God's word, God provided the thing. And he's still Jehovah Jireh tonight that'll provide the sacrifice. And every time that a man or woman will take God, take his word and step out on it and call it the truth." He said, "I felt someone say it was a vision." He said, "It wasn't a vision. It was a ram. He laid it on the altar and killed it, and blood ran out of it. It was a ram. God, the Creator, spoke it into existence, and he can do the same thing tonight. He can speak into existence the power and operation of the Holy Ghost to transform a sinner into a saint. Amen. His omnipotence is here. His presence, he's here. He's still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide." Amen. Why do we worry? Why do we fear? Why do we get upset about our circumstances when we still serve the God that's Jehovah Jireh that can speak to our circumstances? Abraham had a need, but God provided for his need. How's it going to happen, Abraham? It seems impossible. He didn't care if it seemed impossible. It was going to happen anyhow. Innocent blood was shed in both of these situations. The ram hadn't done anything to deserve this, but it was a substitute so that Isaac didn't have to die. Jesus hadn't done anything to deserve the death that he died, but he was a substitute so that we wouldn't have to die. For Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Both sons ultimately survived the sacrifice. Isaac didn't have to be sacrificed and he walked away. But yet Jesus, even though he was sacrificed, he still walked away. Amen. 3 days later. Amen. Both sons were delivered from the dead on the third day. Abraham proved how much he loved God by not withholding his son from him, and God proved how much he loved us by not withholding his son from us. Amen. And I want you to notice this. I just love this when I saw this, Brother Hoover. The sacrifices took place on the same mountain. Amen. Quiet in here tonight, but it's okay. I wouldn't say that if I didn't have a quote to back it up. Don't get scared on me tonight. Israel and the church, 1953, God called Isaac even before he was born, gave him his name, everything, just like he did Jesus. Then I noticed Isaac perfectly. He said, we didn't have time to catch it. But did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father, through promise, packed the wood up the same hill, loaded, tied his hands, offered up as a sacrifice. Genesis chapter 22, Jesus says, or God speaks to Abraham. We read it in the beginning of the service. Said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, if you remember when we looked at this on some contradictions that people think that they found in the Bible and in the message, and we begin to look through some of those, one of the contradictions was about a man named Ornan, or it is at least in 2 Samuel there, but in Chronicles he's named a different name, and how much that the threshing floor that he sold to David was worth, because there had been a time when David went out and numbered the people, and God had told him not to do it, but he goes out and he numbers the people, and because of this, there's a plague that comes in. God gives him a choice of three things to choose, whichever he would have to choose, and he chooses to fall into the hands of God instead of the hands of men, and there's a plague that comes forth, and the angel of the Lord stands with the flaming sword over the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he goes and he sees this angel, and he's fearful of it, David is, and he goes and he asks Ornan the Jebusite if he can buy the threshing floor so that he could offer a sacrifice to God to stay the plague. And Ornan sells him the land, and in one place it says it's 80 something, if I remember it correctly, 80 something pieces of silver. But in 2 Samuel it says, in 2 Samuel it says that it was 500 shekels of gold. And so it looks like a contradiction, but when you go back and pay attention to the words, one, he's buying the actual threshing floor and the oxen for the sacrifice, and the other, he's purchasing the land, that all the acreage that the threshing floor and everything set on. He purchases this entire area of land from Ornan the Jebusite, but the smaller amount was just what he paid for a little threshing floor that happened to be there on the property. Just as when we was going to buy the Methodist church over here, they had appraised it and they showed us a breakdown of it and said the land is worth this much and the house is worth that much and the church is worth that much, and they had it all individually appraised out to see what the land was worth, what the buildings were worth, and everything else. So he purchases the land for one price, but he purchases the threshing floor for another price, and they think it was a contradiction, but yet it wasn't. And even though it looks like a mistake that David has made in having to purchase this because of a plague that came because of a decision he made, and yet through all of this, we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 that when Solomon, verse 1, when Solomon goes to build the house of the Lord, he builds it in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So God had planned it all out, even through David's mistakes, even through his stumblings and everything else. Yet God preordains this spot, and David buys this spot to have a sacrifice, to recompense for his mistakes to God. And God reserves this piece of land, and Solomon goes and he begins to build the temple on it in Mount Moriah, the very place in Jerusalem that Abraham had walked up the mountain to sacrifice his son. And he builds the temple here at the foot of Mount Moriah. And here goes Jesus out of the city, walking up that same mountain to Calvary. John 19, verse 17. And he, bearing the cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, many of us assume that this word, the place of a skull, is because that the side of the mountain there kind of looks like the image of a skull. But history actually tells us different. And actually, Brother Branham says it as well. I've never seen it till this week. In all my listenings and studying, I've heard this tape probably a dozen times in my life, but I've never caught this before. But history tells us, and it's not just in Christian history, but Wikipedia or anywhere you want to search as far as Christian history, says that Christian and Jewish traditions say that the name of Golgotha refers to the location of the skull of Adam. So it's not that it was the place of the skull because the mountain looked like a skull, but because that's where they believe that Adam was buried, was in this mountain called Golgotha. Again, inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is a rock that is traditionally believed to be all that is known, remain visible of Golgotha, known as the tomb of Adam. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, and Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He names this place Jehovah Jireh, and he says, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Not that something that had already taken place, not something that it was done with Isaac, but something that would be seen. He's prophesying towards Calvary, saying, in this mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There was a temporary sacrifice here for my son, but in this mount of the Lord you're really going to see something coming down the road. Right. True Easter Seal, 1961. Brother Bram says it this way. He said, I was reading a little book here not long ago that onto some kind of a research, and in this research I found something most startling. I sat down, I laid the book down, raised my hands up and praised God, got up and walked around a little bit and sat down and read it again. I thought, oh, is that so? That on the same hill where Jesus was crucified, Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on. And was buried on the same hill where Adam died. He died on Golgotha and was buried on Golgotha. And I thought, what appropriate, whether it's right or wrong, let's say it was right. The first Adam died and was buried there, and yet in the dust, because he represented the world and the people to sin. But the second Adam, being the God of heaven, when he died on Golgotha, there wasn't enough earth to hold him there. He rose on the third day and is alive forevermore. Oh my, the place of the skull, because the first Adam had died there, and there had been a ram that had died there to substitute for Isaac, who was supposed to be sacrificed there. Yet Abraham looks and says, oh, but in the mount of God it will be seen. And years later, thousands of years later, here walks Jesus up this same hill that Adam climbed up to die. Here walks Jesus up this same hill that Abraham and Isaac had walked up the hill thinking that Isaac was going to die. But yet Jehovah Jireh had provided a ram for Isaac. And now Jehovah Jireh is providing himself a sacrifice again, not only for the sins of Adam, not only for the sins of Abraham and Isaac, but for the sins of all the world. Amen. Oh, Adam's skull may have still been laying there, as tradition says, the place of the skull. Even the scripture calling it that. Adam's skull may have been laying there and just maybe a spoonful of ashes. But when they laid his body there, the earth couldn't hold it. After about 2 days there, it began to have a nervous upset. And it couldn't hold him in the ground anymore. The rocks began to shake and the stone was rolled away and he came out triumphant. Oh, my. What a God we serve. What a God that we serve. Oh my, when I begin to look and see these things, it just excites me, Brother Jimmy, to know how the plan of God down through time, Abraham and Isaac may have not had a bit idea more than anything. Why is this taking place? Why did we have to go 3 days' journey? Why does it have to be this specific mountain? Why does it have to be that? Maybe Adam wondered why that God had led him maybe miles away from his family, and he walks up this hillside and he lays down and gives up the ghost. Maybe Job wondered why it was. Oh, I love it when the Lord ties things together. Well, maybe Job wondered why it was that he wanted to be buried in a certain spot, because that he saw a vision of how that a kinsman redeemer would be coming. He said, I know my redeemer liveth, and at the last days I'll come forth and I shall see him. And Abraham picked up on that vision. He said, there's something about that. Let's buy this cave of Machpelah over here in the side of the mountain, and I'm going to bury my wife and my children in it. And it excited Isaac so much, he said, you bury me in it. And Jacob said to Joseph, he said, when you take me down there in Egypt, don't you bury me down there, but you take me back there, because in the mountain of God, something's going to take place one of these days. Joseph said, when you put me in this old coffin down here, he said, don't you bury me down here in Egypt. I took my daddy all the way back, me and my brothers, and buried him back there. And when you come out of bondage in 300 years, you carry me with you. There they went through the wilderness 40 years. Why are we packing this old coffin around? Because it's got to go back to where the mountain of God is. It's got to go back to where the resurrection is going to take place. Job saw where his Redeemer was going to stand and come forth, and all those Old Testament saints with him. Maybe they didn't understand, why this, Lord? Why that? Why do we have to go through these motions? Why did I have to buy this cave? Why did I have to walk 3 days to the mountain? Many times we wonder, God, why did you allow me to lose this job? Or why did you allow this loved one to pass? Or why did you allow this financial distress or this marital upset or this one to go this way or that one to go that way? Why is this person over here and that one over there? God knows what he's doing. And he's getting his bride into a position. You remember when Brother Bam begins to talk about the eagle stirring her nest? All my, it's comfy there for a while, and she's got feathers in there and everything, but then she begins to pluck some of those feathers out, and it begins to get a little sticky and starchy, and they begin to pull those feet up because those stickers are sticking them in the feet. What's she doing? She's getting them ready for a flight. Oh, why is there so many trials lately, Brother Nathan? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? God is stirring up his eagle's nest again to get his bride ready for a flight. Oh, we've been too comfortable down here for too long in the lulls of Laodicea. And my, our couches are comfortable, and our restaurants are comfortable, and our churches are comfortable. And oh my, everything's fast and convenient, and instant food, and instant this, and instant that. We've got so comfortable, but God's beginning to shake his people up a little bit and get her in a condition for a flight. Why did this have to happen, Brother Nathan? Why did that happen? Because God's gathering his people. It won't be on a specific mountain this time. It won't be in a specific cave. It won't be in a specific city or a specific state, no matter what people want to tell you. Won't be a specific church building. Won't be a specific country or a specific race or color. But all from around the world, God is gathering his bride together. And one of these days, she's going to take place. She's going to take flight, rather. God's preparing her. And there's one place that we have to be standing. It's not in Jeffersonville, it's not in New Albany, it's not in Zimbabwe, it's not in Church of the Open Door or Branham Tabernacle or Happy Valley Church. It's in the Word of God. Amen. He had a temple for years that was one provided place that the people could come and worship, but now he said his Word is the provided place. Why do we believe this message? Because it's where God's gathering his people. Amen. Why do we believe this message? It's because where God said he would meet his people. Amen. I'm not letting anything, don't leave me off in the denomination, don't leave me off in the world, but when I die, pack me right along with this message. Oh my, don't bury me by some Trinitarian or some woman preacher, but you have a message preacher, preach over me if I go. I want you to notice this, a couple more parallels, and we'll close. Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for Isaac. Jesus sent messengers to get a bride for himself. Gifts were offered to Isaac's bride, and Jesus placed gifts in the bride. I know there's many people that don't believe that today, but he still places gifts in his bride. Amen. Can you imagine if Eliezer would have come there and said, well, here's these gifts, and... Little Rebecca said, oh, I don't need those gifts. I've got you, Eliezer. I don't need the gifts. But these are from the king. These are from Isaac. He's the inheritor of all that Abraham has. He gave you these gifts. Oh, no, I don't need any gifts. I don't need that speaking in tongues stuff or prophecy or any of that anymore. I don't need no interpretation. I don't need no pastor, evangelist, or missionary or any. I don't need nobody to teach me. Brother Bram said, when you get that idea, you're just wrong. You go back and see if he didn't say it. He said, for why did the Holy Ghost put teachers in the church if he wasn't going to teach through them? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, if the musicians would come. This is St. Paul quoting David's words from Psalm 68, verse 18. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Amen.
Oh, I'm thankful that God's still calling. I'm thankful that he's still placing his bride, that he's still revealing things to us. You know, some of these things we come across, it excites me so much when I begin to look into the Word and see how it all dovetails together and this over here and that over there and things that maybe I've never caught before. It excites me so much, but yet it's been laying here the whole time. This has been laying here in the Bible for 2,000 years. It's been laying in the Message since 1956, some of these quotes I read to you tonight. But yet, what is it? It's time for us to dig a little deeper. Amen. I'm not looking, I don't have to produce anything new. There's plenty of unscathed territory right here in the Message in the Bible that when we begin to go in there and glean, I'm reminded of little Ruth there when Boaz told the workers in the field, he said, drop a few handfuls of purpose for every now and then. Right. And when I'm sitting there and I'm studying and I run across things like this, I begin to get excited. I think, oh my, there's another handful of purpose for us, Lord. Right. He dropped them in there. Maybe Brother Bram said it in 1956 in Charlotte, North Carolina, or maybe he said it over in Waterloo, Iowa to a group of people that rejected the Word, or maybe he said it down in Shreveport, Louisiana, where he kept going and kept going and kept going. Only one family ever came out of there into the Message. But yet through all that, he was saying all these things, different geographic locations, different points in time, and maybe it went right over the people's head and they didn't get a thing that he was saying, but there was going to be a bride that would hang on to every word. They say, oh, you're crazy to hang on to the words of a man. No, I'm just following him as he followed Christ. If Paul was here, that's what he commissioned his group to do. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to keep following him because I don't see where he ever stopped following Christ. Oh, no, he kept following each step of the way. Many may have walked away and think it's fanaticism and think it's crazy, but to me, it's the only truth in this age that I've ever been able to find. There's nothing else outside of this, only darkness and demon-possessed and different things. We were talking the other day, I think me and Brother Layton, about how that Brother Branham had said 50 years ago that if the world lasted 50 years, it would go into complete insanity, and all you have to do is pick up a newspaper and recognize that everything outside of this message is going to complete insanity. Yes. Complete insanity. Things that people 50 years ago wouldn't have even thought about doing or things taking place in our country that are today. But what is it? They've gone crazy because they rejected the Word. Oh, we see the path that it goes when we reject God's Word. I don't want to reject the Word. I want to embrace every word of it. Every scripture, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I'm trusting in it tonight. I'm resting on it. Amen. It produces things that there's nothing else that's ever hit the face of the earth that this Word produces. Oh my, down through history, you can look and see things happen in our age that's never happened before. Numerically at least, let me put it that way. Actually, Brother Bram, let me take it a step further. I'll shake you up a little bit more in a minute. But even in Jesus' own ministry, he didn't go to all the countries that Brother Branham went to. Numerically, as many people and things and as many different revivals, as many prayer lines and things, he wasn't able to reach. He was only here 3.5 years. But yet, Brother Branham said he used my humble little ministry more than he even did his own. But yet, he said he kept looking at that Word, and we'll get to it in a few weeks, but I'll give you a little preview. He said, I kept looking at that Word, greater works. And he said, I thought, how could it ever be greater works? He said, I thought that must be more, that we would do more works, because he was just here an individual 3.5 years, but the body of Christ working together for thousands of years would do more works. But then he comes around in Shalom in 1964 in Sierra Vista, and he begins to talk about the squirrels being spoken into existence. And he said, I begin to think about that word, greater works. He said, when he was here, he picked up a fish and broke off, and more fish was created where it was. But he said, in our day, he spoke squirrels into existence where there wasn't anything. He said, there's your greater works. They don't have to believe it because they wasn't preordained to believe it, but I believe it. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you how you feel about it tonight? Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. Oh, by your stripes I've been saved. He wasn't just Jehovah Jireh of Abraham's day, but he's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Jehovah Jireh, whatever you have need of, he's here. My provider, oh, you are more. Oh, he's more than enough tonight for Jehovah Rapha. Even when I'm sick, Lord, you're my healer. Oh, it's by your stripes, Lord, I've been set free. Oh, he's here tonight. Worship him while his presence is here tonight. Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider. You provide for us, Lord, whatever we need. You are more than enough. Oh, if we could just recognize his presence here tonight, anything could be possible. Jehovah, how's it gonna happen, Abraham? Oh, he's my healer. You see, it's by his stripes. Oh, this bride has been, oh, she's been set free. You supply, Lord, you supply all Yes, Father. Oh, you're so much more than enough. Oh, you are more than enough for me. As they play that softly tonight, He's here tonight. He said He would be. We recognize that He is. His presence is here. All of you can recognize, like Abraham of old, maybe it seems impossible, whatever you're facing. But if you can speak to that circumstance like Abraham said, I and the lad shall return. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he had faith in the God that had delivered it to the son, that he was able to restore the son to him. If you have a need tonight, maybe it's a loved one that you've got on your heart, somebody that's strayed far from the cross. Maybe they've walked away and they've given up. Maybe they've fallen into sin. Maybe they're battling all kinds of things. Maybe they're sick in their body, whatever it would be. If you've got a loved one in your heart, why don't you hold that need on your heart tonight? If you've got a physical need, maybe the doctors have given you up. Maybe you don't know what's wrong with your body. Maybe Satan's just trying to attack you in every way. Why don't you hold that need on your heart tonight? Maybe you've got somebody in your that's a friend that you've been burdened for, and just day and night seems like you've got a burden on your heart for them. Why don't you hold that friend on your heart tonight? Maybe it's marital troubles. Maybe you and your spouse have been arguing and fighting and bickering, and you don't know why, but it just seems like Satan's trying to attack you any way he can. Why don't you hold that need on your heart tonight? Maybe you've got financial trouble, and you don't know where the next dollar is going to come from. Maybe you don't know how that next bill is going to be paid. Why don't you hold that need on your heart tonight? Jehovah Jireh is a provider tonight. He's a financial provider. He's a marital provider. He's a health provider. He's a joy provider. He's a peace provider. He's a comforter in the time of needs. He's here tonight. If you have a need, why don't you stand up tonight? Whatever that need is, just hold it in your heart and just accept it. That Jehovah Jireh that spoke and said that Abraham would have a lamb that he would provide for him, that he's able to provide for your need tonight, that he's able to provide for that family member, that he's able to provide for that friend, that he's able to provide for your spiritual needs. Maybe Satan's been battling you, trying to cause you to be upset and torn up and depressed and discouraged. We've got a Jehovah Jireh tonight that can move those things back. Maybe he's tried to beat you down and wear you down, and maybe everything's going wrong at your school or on your job or wherever it be. We have a Jehovah Jireh that can still come on the scene tonight. Oh, why don't you just hold those needs on your heart tonight while we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, you see those that are standing. Lord, they have burdens on their heart. Maybe some of them for themselves, some of them for their family, some of them for friends or loved ones or financial situations, for spiritual needs. Maybe they're battling addictions that Satan's tried to give them, and they've tried and tried to lay them down. But Father, it just seems like Satan's trying to hold them back. But Father, you're Jehovah Jireh tonight. You're able to provide deliverance. You're a God that's a deliverer. We accept it by faith tonight. Lord, may each one that stood these needs in their hearts, may they hold that need in their heart, Father, for that loved one. Oh, Father, may they drive down a stake that when Satan would try to come and torment them, that they didn't receive. May they remind him that Jehovah Jireh began providing for that need tonight. And maybe it may take years, it may take months, it may take weeks, it may take days, but they'll see Jehovah Jireh manifest the need in their life. Lord, because you've spoken in your word and promised, if any two would agree touching anything, Lord, we agree together, Lord, for the needs of these people tonight. We agree together for each need, for each burden. Lord, for the musicians, Lord, maybe they had needs, Lord, but because they're trying to play the music to keep an atmosphere for the people, maybe they weren't able to stand. But Lord, they're standing in their heart tonight. May you provide their needs too. Maybe for those with physical needs, Lord, maybe they weren't able to stand tonight because of physical problems. You know the heart, Lord. You look at the heart. Lord, may you provide these needs. Satan, we speak to you tonight because our prophet told us that we had the power and authority to speak to the enemy. We rebuke you, not by our name, not by William Branham's name or any other name under heaven, but in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to you under the authority of the word. May you turn these people loose that you've tried to torment. Maybe you've battled them all week. Maybe you tried to keep them from being here tonight. But Jehovah Jireh had other plans. We accept what Jehovah Jireh did for us. We accept the atonement. We accept the sacrifice that was made. We accept what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. Satan, may you move back. Every doubt, every shadow, every fear, every torment that you've tried to torment them with, may you move back tonight in the name of Jesus. May deliverance be had. Lord, for each need, for each circumstance. Oh, we speak tonight in the name of Jesus, not in our own name, not in our own authority, not by our own power, but by the authority of the word, because we know there's power in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're not welcome anymore. You're not welcome in this church. You're not welcome in these lives. You're not welcome in our homes or on our job or at our schools. We speak to you in the name of Jesus. You can leave. Go back to your home that you don't even have the keys to. You defeated enemies, Satan. Christ defeated you 2,000 years ago. You've tried to lie to us. You've tried to hinder us. You've tried to attack us, but we know that you're defeated tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pronounce deliverance on these people, Father. We accept it by faith. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, for he's more than enough, so much more. Sing it to him tonight. Singing, oh, I love you, Lord. Singing, oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I the bride is singing. Oh, if we could look around tonight, I believe we could look like Gehazi and recognize there's more with us than there are with them. There's more angels than there are enemies trying to attack. Oh, but there's beating wings around us tonight that's trying to protect us, trying to watch over us, trying to do a spiritual warfare against the enemy. They'll try to come and attack us in our lives. Oh, but his presence here. Oh, what a blessed people that we are to live in this atmosphere that the world knows nothing about. Oh, it ought to make us love him with all our hearts. We're singing, I love you, Lord. Sing. Oh, I love you. once without the music.
Oh, sing.
He likes that tonight. Let's sing it again that way.
We're singing.
Beautiful to hear the voices of the bride lifting up together in song. Let's sing it again.
Oh, we're singing.
Let's just give him a wave offering tonight.
Oh, we're singing.
See you. let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it start. Oh, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Just let your desire. Oh, just let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Let it start. Oh, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Just let sing it again tonight. Jesus, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Oh, let it live in me. Lord, let it start. Live inside this house of clay. Softly, just remember the funeral tomorrow. Viewing will be at 9 o'clock here at the church. Funeral at 11. And just remember the Buckles family in prayer during this time of loss. No matter what the age, it's always hard to lose a loved one. It's wonderful to have the comfort to know that we'll see them again on the other side, but it's still hard on this side to know that we won't see them again in this body, this side of the river. But God's good. He's mindful of us. He knows how to comfort us during these times of loss. But amen. Remember those. If you can't be here for the service, please remember the service in prayer. And God bless you. Dismissed. Let's just sing it as we go. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, just let it live in me. Let it start. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay, Lord, and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger. Oh, Jesus, let your word be born. Oh, yes. Sometimes, hallelujah. Sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes, gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes. Yeah.
His name.